Okay, welcome back, everybody. Monday Night Base Medrash, our third shiur in our series on Hadlokas Neiro Shabbos. Thank you very much to all our sponsors, and a big happy birthday to Barry. It's really great to have Barry as part of our crew every Monday night. So tonight we have a fascinating topic of what happens when a person forgets to light Neiro Shabbos. What are the halachic ramifications of forgetting to light Shabbos candles? So the first section of our shiur tonight is going to be to consider whether there is any backup. Is there any fallback when one forgets to light Neiro Shabbos? Is there anything to do instead of lighting oneself? And then the second section of our shiur is going to be about a really intriguing minhag that developed from the times of the Rishonim, that when a woman forgets to light Shabbos candles, so she takes upon herself to add an extra candle going forward for the rest of her days. We'll see the source of the minhag, and we'll speak a lot about the scope and how far reaching that minhag is. Does it automatically apply in every case, or are there lots of exceptions to the rule? As you can see from my tone, clearly it's going to be the latter. So we'll discuss it all. So in terms of the fallback, so can one ask a non-Jew to light candles on their behalf if they forgot to light candles for Shabbos? So the case that we're dealing with here, just to set the facts, are that we know that we try to light candles 18 minutes before Shabbos, right? Okay, so within the 18 minutes, you're rushing, you're trying to, you forget to light candles. All of a sudden, Shabbos sets in at Shkia, at sunset, and at that time, everyone is prohibited from doing malacha. So we're not allowed to kindle a fire at that time. So we can't light Shabbos candles once Shkia sets in. So can we ask a non-Jew during Bein Hashmashos, during twilight, during the time between sunset and Tzis HaKochavim and nightfall, can we ask a non-Jew to do so on our behalf? So if you take a look at source number one, for the shiur, we're going to be going based on the all-Hebrew source sheet. So if you take a look at source number one, the Magen Avram, Rabbi Avram Gombiner, lived in the 1600s in Poland. The most important commentary on Shulchan Aruch or Achaim. So the Magen Avram quotes from earlier Rishonim, an interesting case. They sometimes used to have weddings on Fridays. We never have that nowadays, but sometimes they used to have weddings on Fridays. So he says, "Kishayash chupa be'erev Shabbos." There's a wedding on a Friday. Uma'achrin ba'arach ashkia sachama. They're having a joyous time. They're having a grand old time, and they're going past sunset. V'ha'isha ino rotza l'kabel Shabbos lefnei ha'chupa. You have a woman who's invited to this wedding, and she wants to partake in the wedding. She doesn't want to accept Shabbos prior to the wedding, so she doesn't want to light candles before the wedding. So says the Magen Avram, quoting these Rishonim, Rabbeinu Shalom and Rabbeinu Moshe Moelin. So he quotes these two Rishonim who say that she has two options. She can light candles before without a bracha, and then after nightfall, cover the candles and make a bracha after they're already lit. We're going to see that is a very novel opinion, that she could make a bracha after she lights the candles. Usually we make the bracha when the candles are lit. And then he says a second option, O tomar la'akum lahadlik achar hachopa vihi tevarich. Says the Magen Avram, a second option is to ask a non-Jew to light on your behalf, and you can make the bracha. Obviously the non-Jew is not going to make the bracha, but you can ask a non-Jew to light on your behalf, and you can make the bracha. So it seems from these Rishonim that it would be totally fine to ask a non-Jew to light the candles, and you would still fulfill the mitzvah. If you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, then you couldn't make the bracha. Obviously, you're fulfilling the mitzvah al yedei via the non-Jew's lighting. Rabbi Akiva Eger, one of the most famous of the later commentaries of the Achronim, in source number two, he takes issue with this possibility that you could ask a non-Jew to light on your behalf. And in the bold, he says, "Kasha, this is very difficult. Kevan de'ein shlichus l'nachri." We have a principle in the Gemara in Gittin and Daf Chav Gimel that there is a certain set of people that we can appoint as a proxy to do things on our behalf. The Gemara learns out from the pasuk, "Atem gam atem." that we that ma'atem b'nei bris af shluchachem b'nei bris. What that means is that just as we are part of the Jewish nation, so too our messengers, our proxies, need to be part of the Jewish nation. So a classic case of shlichus that the Gemara discusses: if a person appoints a proxy to get engaged, to give a ring to his fiance, so he's only allowed to appoint a Jewish proxy. A non-Jewish proxy would not be a valid messenger in halacha. So says Rabbi Akiva Eger, I don't understand. How can you ask a non-Jew to light candles on your behalf if, after all, you cannot appoint a non-Jew to be your messenger to fulfill something in the world of halacha? So says Rabbi Akiva Eger, that shouldn't work. Ve'ich tivarech, how could she make a blessing? How could she make a bracha on such a lighting? So here we have a debate between the Achronim. The Magen Avraham quotes from some of the Rishonim that one can appoint a non-Jew to light on his or her behalf, whereas Rabbi Akiva Eger says that this would not be a valid approach. If you look at the Mishnah Brura in source number 3, so the Mishnah Brura sides with Rabbi Akiva Eger. He also quotes Rabbi Akiva Eger in the Derech HaChaim, that it would not be a valid approach to appoint a non-Jew as a messenger. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, in practice, we avoid this option. We don't ask non-Jews to light on our behalf during the Hashmashos. Now, I should have clarified to begin with, how am I allowed to ask a non-Jew to light, according to the opinion that allows it, how can I ask a non-Jew to light on my behalf when Shabbos has already set in? Isn't there a prohibition called Amir La'akum? We know that we're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do anything on our behalf on Shabbos. There are very specific rules for when we're allowed to and when we're not allowed to. So how can I just, you know, out of the blue, ask a non-Jew to light candles for me? That's a malacha de'oraisa of kindling a fire, of havara. So, very good. Okay, so Jerome says that it's bein hashmashos. So the Rabbanan made a special license, a special dispensation, that during the twilight period between Shkias HaChama and Seis HaKochavim, one is allowed to ask a non-Jew to do something for the sake of a mitzvah. So since in this case, you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah, namely Neiro Shabbos, if we thought that asking a non-Jew to light would fulfill the mitzvah, then you could ask the non-Jew to do so. The only problem is that according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, we can't appoint non-Jews as messengers. So it's not really fulfilling the mitzvah. Or at least that's the way that some explain it. That's the way that Rav Moshe Feinstein paskins in source number 6. And therefore, since it's not going to fulfill the mitzvah, so then you run back into the problem of Amir La'akum, that you really shouldn't ask the non-Jew to kindle a fire when it's not for a mitzvah purpose. And that's the way that we would paskin halacha lemaisa, that this is really best to avoid. Now, I just want to get into a little bit of the analysis here. What really lies behind the debate as to whether Shabbos candles, Neiro Shabbos, can be fulfilled via a non-Jew or not? What lies behind that? What gets at the crux of that dispute?
Is it lighting the candle or having candles lit?
Beautiful. So let's take a look at source number 4. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi. So he explains why, or what would be the basis to allow a non-Jew to light on our behalf. And he takes a more result-oriented approach, the way that you described, Jerome, and he adds another point to it. So everyone in source number 4 together with me, he writes as follows. Umikom makom b'di'eved. Right, so in a non-ideal case, shashakcha velo hidlika kodam bein hashmashos, that one forgot to light before twilight arrived. V'nizkara b'vein hashmashos, and one remembered in the middle of bein hashmashos, says of Shneur Zalman, Yashlahatir la letzavos lenachri lahadlik, one can instruct a non-Jew to light on her behalf, vishetivarichi, and she can make the bracha, kodem shetehene la'oran, before she derives benefit from the candles. So for example, you forgot to light, and you have a non-Jewish neighbor, you ask a non-Jewish neighbor to come over, you tell him or her to light the candles on your behalf, and then says of Shneur Zalman that right before you go up to the candles and you derive benefit from them, before you read a sefer in front of them, before you prepare something in the house for them, before you do something with your kids in front of them, that's when you make the bracha, before you get the hana'ah. And he explains in the parentheses, Dechevan she'ikr mitzvahs hadakas ner Shabbos. Since the essence of the mitzvah of lighting candles, eino ha'hadlaka bilvad, it's not just the action of putting fire to a wick. Ela ha-hanoa ve-hatashmish la-ora hi ikar ha-mitzvah. This is a theme that's been recurring over the past couple of weeks that we've discussed at length. That part and parcel of the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner HaShabbos is not just to light the fire, but to derive benefit from the fire. That's why we discussed so much last week. How could it be that we light candles in a room that's already full of light? So we discussed that last week, and anybody who wants to find out more, I'm happy to discuss it too, or you could listen to the shiur from last week if you weren't here. But at the end of the day, everybody agrees that you have to derive the benefit. So says Rav Shneur Zalman of Liyar L'Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that the Iker Mitzvah, the primary part of the Mitzvah, is the deriving of benefit from the light. And therefore, when I ask the non-Jew to light on my behalf, all that I'm asking is really that he do the Hachana for the Mitzvah. Putting the Mitzvah into motion, so to speak. Preparing for the Mitzvah. I can't derive benefit unless the lights are lit, unless the candles are lit. So I ask the non-Jew to do the first step for me, but then I'm able to fulfill the essence of the mitzvah, which is the deriving of benefit. And that's why I can ask the non-Jew, and I can even make a bracha, because really I'm fulfilling the mitzvah when I derive the benefit. That is a very particular perspective on the mitzvah, that the essence really lies in the deriving of benefit from the candles. If you look at Rav Moshe Feinstein in source number 6, so he disagrees. He says, "Ulerabinu tam shehu chiyuv haguf lahadlik," that there is an obligation that rests upon every single person to kindle the lights. Pashut she'afim hidliku cheir shota v'katon v'akum bizmano inu klum. So we should take it for granted that someone who's not obligated in the mitzvah, such as a minor, such as a non-Jew, they can't light on our behalf. Because each and every one of us has an obligation to light the candles. And Rav Moshe Feinstein is taking the perspective that the physical act of kindling the light, that itself is not just a preparation for the deriving of benefit, but that itself is really the essence of the mitzvah. And therefore, I cannot appoint a non-Jew to do it for me, because a non-Jew cannot be my messenger. So that really gets to the crux of the debate. How should we characterize the mitzvah of Ner HaShabbos? Do we emphasize more what we call the Maisa Mitzvah, putting the fire to the wick? Or do we emphasize more the Totsoas Hadavar, the result, the ability to derive benefit from the light? And this would have two practical ramifications. Number one, can a non-Jew light on my behalf? And number two, the big Chiddush that we saw at the very beginning, can I make the bracha even after I lit the candles? The candles are sitting there, lit. Can I make the bracha then? We know that we have the practice to cover our eyes, right? Before we say the bracha. Why do we cover our eyes before we say the bracha? Because we go out of our way not to benefit from the light before we say the bracha. But according to one opinion, you can make the bracha even after the candles are lit, as long as you're getting hana from them. For sure, but why do you have to cover your eyes? Why can't you just light it and then make the bracha?
So that you're not benefiting.
Exactly. So what does that show you, right? So that shows you that the benefit itself is what we're looking for. And this opinion at the beginning was saying that you could light them anytime that they're still lit, as long as you're continuing to derive benefit from it. We don't paskin that way. We paskin that you make the bracha at the very beginning. When you first light the candles, because we take Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Mishnah Berurah's approach that the Maisa HaMitzvah of lighting the candles, that is also considered the primary component of the mitzvah. Okay, so that's the end of section number one in terms of is there a backup option of asking a non-Jew to light on our behalf, and we said that halacha l'maisa, we avoid this. Yeah. Right. Well, if she would make the bracha b'mika t'nai not to be mekabel Shabbos. Yeah, yeah.
Is there a shita that they should make the bracha after the light?
Yes, there is. The Bir Halacha says that when a woman makes a t'nai, when one makes a condition not to be mekabel Shabbos, that she would flip the order. That the bracha would come before the lighting instead of after the lighting. Because why do we make the bracha after? This is as an aside, so it's not really our topic for tonight. But why do we make the bracha after the lighting? Because once you say the bracha, you accept Shabbos. If you accept Shabbos, you can't light a fire. So that's why we make the bracha after the lighting, even though in general, when it comes to mitzvos, we always make a bracha before we do the mitzvah. You make a bracha before you take the lulav. You make a bracha before you blow the shofar. However, if one is making a condition stipulating that he or she is not being mekabel Shabbos at that time, so then there's no issue to light the fire. And therefore, you can make the bracha in advance of lighting the fire. Yeah, so that's in the Bir Halacha. Very good, Chaim. Okay, let's get to our, to the marquee section of this year, so to speak. The what I call the Shabbos candle penalty, the knas, of adding one candle. So, how many people here have heard of this in the past? Yeah? Okay, not bad. Okay, so let's see where does this all come from? Let's try to see the background to this, and also try to identify the reasoning for it. And then we'll discuss a lot of the exceptions to it. And the reason why I'm so excited about this is not just because it's a very fascinating topic, but so many of the exceptions to what I call the penalty will all reflect on fundamental concepts that we've developed in the previous two shiurim about Nero Shabbos. And when we go through each exception, I'll highlight each of the fundamental concepts that we've already discussed and how that plays in specifically to this topic of the knas. So let's begin in source number 7. This all comes from the Maharil, who this is quoted in the Darkei Moshe, in the Rambam's commentary on the Torah, Kasav Maharil. So the Maharil wrote that, Isha sheshakcha velo hidlika ner b'shabbos, If a woman forgot to light candles for Shabbos, shatzricha kol yomeha lahosif al ner shal mitzvah yoser mimash ha'isa regila lahadik adata. She must add an additional candle to that which she has been accustomed to lighting until now. Then he goes very harsh. Shatzricha tanis uvidui. This was a very harsh thing that this was considered. So we don't take, no one practices the Tanis and the Vidui part, but the additional candle, that does get recorded in Shulchan Aruch, but I want you to see this Ramah. The Ramah comments on the Maharil, V'chol zeh eino ela chumros rechokos. These are, far-fetched stringencies. And he says, not only that, but there's counter pressure to adding another candle when you forget. The Adaraba. In fact, the opposite should be true, because nireh, it seems to me, the chol hamosif al haniros goreya. Anyone who adds to the niros is actually detracting. Why? Umafsid hakavana shel zachor v'shamor. Why is it that the minimum number of candles that we light are two? Because we have zachor es yom ha-shabbos l'kadsho, and shamor es yom ha-shabbos. Zachor and shamor, positive and negative aspects of Shabbos, we light two candles to connote those two words of Zachor and Shamor. Says the Ramah, so let's say that you light two, I know many of us probably have the minhag that we light the number of candles of people we have in our families, right? But the baseline is to light two candles, okay? So let's put ourselves in a world in which we're lighting two candles. Says the Ramah, you forgot to light 1 week, you're going to add a third candle. Hold on 1 second. The Torah doesn't have a third word to associate with the observance of Shabbos. So now you're totally uprooting the correspondence between the candles and the words that are used for the verbs and actions of Shabbos. Zachor v'shamor. Says the Ramah that the logic should dictate otherwise. You shouldn't add more candles. You should always keep it at two. So then he says, Aval hanashim nohagos kedivrei maharil. You see that women over centuries and centuries of Jewish tradition took the mitzvah of Nero Shabbos very, very seriously. And that's true up until today. And probably out of the seriousness with which, the gravity with which they took this mitzvah, so they took upon themselves to practice this custom of the Maharil, that shekol sheshakcha pa'am achas madlekas kol yomeha gimel neros. That any time that one forgets light candles, she adds a third ner or an additional ner to the number that she's been lighting. So if you have 5 people in your family, you would light six for the rest of her life. And what happened to the point about Zachor v'Shamor? So he quotes from other Rishonim who say that it would only be a problem to do less. If there's Zachor v'Shamor, you have to do at least two, you can't do one. But to do more, that wouldn't be a problem. Now, even though the Ramah is a little bit skeptical about this minhag in the Darkei Moshe, if you flip the page to source number 8, So you'll see that in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama records this minhag, despite his hesitance, and he says, "Ha'isha shashar kapa machas lahadlik madlekas kol yameha gimel neros." And that's where we have on the books, pretty black and white, that if a woman forgets to light Nero Shabbos 1 week, so then she would add another candle. We had a question from Ari and also a question from Dovi. Yeah.
My question was, I couldn't think of another mitzvah that we've done.
I think this is the only one. I can't think of another mitzvah either of such a knas. And again, that's why I want to emphasize that this is this. It's not. This comes from a minhag that developed during the times of the Maharil that women then accepted upon themselves, right? So it's not like you can't point to any Gemara or any source in earlier in Chazal that tells you to do this. But nonetheless, it is a minhag that's recorded in Shulchan Aruch, which obviously we take very seriously. Minhag is part of the way that we practice halacha also. But I totally agree with you. I can't think of another example either. Yeah. Dovi.
This, based on the sources, is clearly this minhag developed among Ashkenazim. Is this something which Sephardim do also now? Is it binding on Sephardim?
It's not in Shulchan Aruch, meaning the Mechaber doesn't record it.
Right.
I don't know. I always look to Noam as my resident Sephardi, but okay, we'll have to. I'll tell you. I know exactly what's going to happen. We're going to have a machlokas between the Birka Yosef and Rav Ovadia. Yeah. Are we good? Okay. We'll see. All right. Okay. So I wanted to discuss. Yeah, Eitan. Big mazel tov to Eitan. We have a new, not a new father, but another candle. Exactly. Yeah. So that was in a case.
Yeah, where you told them nothing. So like,
yeah, because you wouldn't want to instruct a non-Jew to do more than necessary because of the counter pressure of asking a non-Jew.
Well, how would you square that with like the Rambam says you can't light fewer than two?
Yeah, so I think basically the rabbinic prohibition to ask a non-Jew to do malach on Shabbos would outweigh the need to correspond to Zohar B'Shomer. Because that's not, even though that's certainly something that we want to do, that's not critical to the mitzvah. Whereas Amir La'akum is, a blanket Isser Derabba. Yeah, good question. Okay, so first of all, in terms of the first exception, you know, this probably everyone would intuit. So the Magen Avram points out that this only applies when it's out of negligence or forgetfulness. But if there's an onus that arises, there are some circumstances that perforce a woman is not able to light Nero Shabbos, then this would not apply. So the Magen Avraham has a pretty depressing example of a woman who unfortunately is beveso asurim in jail. But hopefully that's not coming up too much nowadays. But nonetheless, we could think of many other cases of ones where it's not that she forgot to light, but her hands were tied; she wasn't able to. So in that case, this idea would not apply. Now, the Magen Avraham in that source, in source number 9, he explains some of the reasoning as well for this knas. And he says, "V'imshakha kamen pa'amin tzricha losef b'chol pa'am." Every time you forget, you got to add another one. Why? Ki hadavar mishum hekera. The whole purpose of adding the additional candle is to remind yourself about the mitzvah. I said before that this probably corresponds or correlates with the gravity with which women took the mitzvah and continue to take the mitzvah of Nero Shabbos. So we put something into place, some physical, matter into place to remind us to continue to fulfill the mitzvah of Nero Shabbos. Shatihiya zihira mikano lahaba b'chavot Shabbos. That one would be very scrupulous about this. So that's why in a case of ones, this is not going to apply. Because when one is not able to fulfill the mitzvah, it's not like a lack of scrupulousness. It's not out of negligence. It's just that you couldn't do it. So then there's no need to remind oneself to be scrupulous. If 1 week one was negligent, so then I could see that there would be reason to remind oneself to be careful. So that's the that's the basis for this this distinction between forgetfulness and what we call ones, when one's hands are tied. So now let's go through a couple of very practical cases. And as I said before, they're all going to highlight different fundamental concepts that we've discussed the last 2 weeks. So let's say, for example, one spends Shabbos away from home. Yeah? So So let's say you spend Shabbos at, at your parents' house, okay, or at your kid's house, yeah? And someone else is the Baal HaBayis, the person in charge of that house, is lighting candles. And you forgot to light. So does the Knas still apply? You might think, oh, well, there's light in the house. So the mitzvah of Neir Shabbos was fulfilled here, but I, or the woman at hand, didn't fulfill the mitzvah. So do we apply the Knas? So if you take a look at the Sefer, this is in Rav Moshe Feinstein, in source number 10. So he says that the Knas would still apply. And the Sefer Orcho Shabbos explains as follows. That's from Rabbi Gelber and Rabbi Rubin, who I've quoted in the past in the Shiurim, wrote a very nice Sefer on the Halachos of Neir Shabbos. So this gets back to a very fundamental point. Very fundamental point. The mitzvah of Neir Shabbos is fulfilled by the Ba'alas Habayis, by the mother or woman who is the head of the household. But technically, the obligation rests upon every adult in the house. I'm chayav in Neir Shabbos just as much as my wife is. So if my wife were away for Shabbos, or she, something happened and she wasn't able to light, I would have to light. We learned that in week number one. Because we consider the chiyuv of Neir Shabbos to be a choves haguf, an obligation that rests upon every single individual. Now, how is it then? Why don't we each light a candle? Why don't I light and my wife lights? So we explained that the way in which the mitzvah is fulfilled is for the entirety of the household. And we give the mitzvah to the head of the household, to the mother or woman in charge, to do on behalf of everybody else. But since fundamentally every single person is obligated to do it, every head of household needs to do the mitzvah on behalf of the entire household. So therefore, when you go away for Shabbos, even though the person who lives at that home, at the host, lit, but what about your chiyuv? You didn't fulfill your chiyuv. So therefore, if you forgot to light even when you visit someone else, the knas would still apply. So that halacha just highlights, again, this fundamental idea of Neir Shabbos resting upon every individual. Now, what about, we discussed in our first shiur, we had a really interesting case. This happened to someone in the shul, where on Yom Kippur, the husband was home here in Fairlawn for Yom Kippur, and his wife went to her parents for Yom Kippur. I think she was listening to her father daven for the Amud or something like that, okay? So we pointed out that in that case, so the husband is going to light here in Fairlawn. He lights on behalf of the entire household. Does his wife have to light as well? So we pointed out that really, as long as there's light in the room in which she's sleeping, if there's like a bathroom light on or a closet light on, she's totally exempt from lighting. Because her household, and she's included in that, was fulfilled via her husband's lighting. So let's say that she forgot to light in that case. Well, it doesn't matter, because she was exempt entirely to begin with. So again, that halacha also reflects on how the chovas haguf plays out, on how the individual obligation plays out. If you're part of a household and someone else takes care of the household's obligation, such as your husband, then even if you forgot to light, the knas is not going to apply, the penalty won't be relevant. What about in the following case? Do you have a question? No? Okay. Yeah, Uri.
Related to the Hanukkah, you could actually, if you're staying at someone's house, you could actually just pay them or give them something to be included with them. That doesn't apply with a member of that shop.
You could do that as well. The Rav Yah, that's what we quoted this in week number one, that the Rav Yah makes a connection between Shabbos and Hanukkah that you can be what's called mishtatik bepruta, that you can be part of their lighting. And in fact, according to some, you're part of their lighting even when you don't add, even when you don't contribute monetarily. However, when you go away for Shabbos, most people light themselves. They don't rely on the host's lighting. And therefore, really they have the intention not to be grouped with the lighting of the host. They're saying, I want to light myself. So once you're in that situation, and nonetheless you forget, then the knas would apply. Yeah, hi.
There's a logic of this, where everyone has the chiyuv, right? So in theory, my wife for that one week, would that actually mean that now I also have to be Moses the next time I light? Because I also didn't.
He says that. Yep, he says that it takes effect on the household. And that therefore, right, whoever's lighting for that household would have to add another one. That's what he said. That's what he passed. What?
That then they go to your kids.
No, only when you're. Correct. No, once they get married and they're lighting for someone else, then they have their own household. Yeah, as much as you might not want them to. Okay, yeah.
You have to have kavana for that other person who's not at the household?
No, just the lights need to be lit. Yeah, yeah. Question, yes.
In that
case, Natalia, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
No. I knew. I know. I just wanted to. I was double checking.
In that case where the woman is away for Shabbos and her husband is at home and he's supposed to light.
Yeah.
What if her husband forgets to light?
Oof.
Is there knas?
So. Good. Okay. So either way you slice it, you might say it's not fair. But it happens to be that the minhag was taken upon specifically by women. And therefore, we apply the knas only to a woman who lights. So if your husband forgot to light, you wouldn't have to suffer from it. But at the same time, the penalty doesn't apply to him. So yeah, it's a good point. Okay. That's the way at least most of the postgame.
So then also the same, like,
wouldn't apply because again this is all rooted in the minhag, and the minhag was specifically taken upon the women in specific took upon themselves to follow the minhag. Okay, three more cases. Actually, two more cases we'll do for tonight. We learned also that although the main mitzvah of lighting Neros Shabbos is in your dining room together with your meal, it also can be fulfilled for purposes of what we call shalom bayis. That when you have, let's say, you're lighting in the room in which you sleep, you're adding more light so that you can function. That would also be considered a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Neros Shabbos. So let's go back actually to that case, the Yom Kippur case that I love going back to. So let's go back to that Yom Kippur case, where you had a husband lighting here in Fairlawn, and his wife was somewhere else for Shabbos. So we said that technically, she doesn't need to light if there's light on in her room. What if there's no light on in her room? So then there's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Neros Shabbos. But the mitzvah in this case is specifically for shalom bayis, just to be able to function normally in the house. It's not in the dining room. So it's not for oneg Shabbos. It's not for the joy of the meal, but rather it's for shalom bayis. Yeah? So let's say there were no lights on in the room, and she forgot. Would we say that the knas applies? So I'm going to quote again from the Sefer Aruch HaShabbos, who says that because this is all rooted in minhag, we have more of a lenient stance on when the minhag applies. So we're only going to apply the knas when the negligence was on the primary, the primary fulfillment of Neros Shabbos, namely in the context of the dining room. But when it's only for shalom bayis, it's just to add light to be able to function, then we won't apply the knas. And therefore, in that case, even if she forgot to light in her own room in which she was sleeping, we still would not apply the knas. Now, the one we've all been waiting for. So if you've been spacing out until now, come in. Last exception, and this is the big one. This is the biggie. What if you have electric lights on in the room? You have light on.
What kind of bulb is it?
Ooh, doesn't matter. And you forgot to light. Would we say that the knas still applies? Someone told me, I was just talking about this topic with someone in the community. He said that a person at another shul had exactly this question. A couple weeks ago, she forgot to light and there were lights on in the room. What's the halacha? So let's go back to electric lights, first of all. Do electric lights fulfill the mitzvah of Neros Shabbos? We quoted last week that there's a large debate, and we have to distinguish between types of electric lights, like David is telling us. If we have incandescent lights, many poskim say that that would fulfill the mitzvah. What about non-incandescent, fluorescent lights, LED lights? Would that fulfill the mitzvah? According to Rav Willig and Rav Yashiv, yes. So the Sefer Aruch HaShabbos says that because we have poskim who allow even for non-fluorescent lights, again, when it comes to this minhag, we have a lenient stance, and therefore we would be lenient to say that as long as there were electric lights that were put on for Shabbos, then the knas does not apply. Now that's huge, because any time that you go into your dining room and turn on a light, then that would save you from this penalty, and therefore it very often does not apply. I want to make one point though. The restriction or limitation on this exception is that the lights would have to be flicked on, I guess, right? Put on after Plag HaMincha. We know that the first time that you can light Shabbos candles is after Plag, right? That's when we have early Shabbos. In the summer, we call it Plag Shabbos. Why? Because the first time that you can accept Shabbos is at Plag. If you put lights on prior to Plag, they're not Shabbos candles. After Plag, they're Shabbos candles. So it's only if you turn the lights on after Plag HaMincha that then the knas would not apply, because you've done something to have light for Shabbos. Yes, there will be first, then Uri. Yeah.
So we say having lights on for Shabbos. So, well, two questions. I think one of the arguments we get to, so I'll hold off on it. But does it have to be the lights in, let's say you always light Shabbos candles in the dining room, that's the best place, like Shabbos candles. Let's say I turn off the light, I was in my bedroom, and I turn on a nightlight or a light in the closet, you know, hour before, then I came downstairs. That was now in this room, there's light, there are no lights to lit for Shabbos.
So any light that is turned on it should be really any light that's turned on after Plag HaMincha anywhere in the house, as long as it adds for Shalom Bayis. As long as you're going to use that lumen. Oh, great question. So let's think about this together. Yeah, right. So lechora not right, because if, for example, right, if you know, 1 week I just went ahead and lit the candles, right. So it's not the right thing, right? The mitzvah is for my wife to do. I should allow her to do it and should give her the opportunity to do it. But if I just went and snatched it, maybe I should have to give her some gold coins. But I think the mitzvah would still be fulfilled. So I would think, Dovi, that as long as anyone of adult age in the house, anyone bar bat mitzvah or above, turned on a light after Plag HaMincha for the sake of Shabbos, I would think that the knas should not apply. That's what I would think. But we could do more homework on the question. Or, yeah. Oh, so the post can bring that as well, that if you set a clock after Plag to go for a light to go on for Shabbos, that would count as well.
But do you have to set the clock after Plag, or does the clock have to be set to go on after Plag?
So I think you have to set it after Plag, because you have to do an action after Plag that constitutes an action of lighting, right? Or at least a hishtadlus, at least, you know, an involvement in lighting. Yeah, Josh.
But if the whole point is for something pious, why does it have to be any action at all? Shouldn't it just be like the chesed that there is light? Like, why does it have to be anything about when you did it before or after Plag?
So because there's a sharp distinction. With you're asking a good question, but there's a sharp distinction, which is that if you have light already on, that exempts you from the mitzvah. But if here we're talking about that you have an obligation to do the mitzvah, so that entails that you do something active. Having the light on is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah; it's just a hafka'ah from being chayav. You're exempt from the mitzvah, but it's not a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Yeah? Yeah, Talia.
So if you turn on an electric light in that space between like when you can bring Shabbos in and when Shabbos starts, and then you forget to light, and then it's still being hashmashal, can you make a bracha on the electric light? Like the way that the sources said you can make a bracha later if the candle was lit much earlier?
Right. So I think in that case we would say that you wouldn't make the bracha, because that would basically be like candles that were already lit, right? So like it's akin to lighting the candles, not making the bracha, and then coming back to them half an hour later and making the bracha then. That I think we would say not to make the bracha, but it would still save you from the knas for sure. Okay, so that's the big one. So at the end of the day, this the knas probably won't apply in many, many cases, because we do turn on electric lights nowadays. So we can thank the invention of electricity for saving us from this knas. I wanted to end off very, very quickly. I'm sorry for going over time tonight, as I do every week. So I don't know. Maybe we're just going to have to change the times. Okay. I wanted, since this is the last year of our series for Ne'er HaShabbos, I wanted to end off with a quick idea. So there is a Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Chaf Gimel Amid Beis that says that one who is careful and accustomed to fulfilling the mitzvah of Ne'er HaShabbos merits having children who follow in the ways of Hashem, who are knowledgeable in Torah, and Ovdei Hashem, Talmidei Chachamim, says the Gemara. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, we've quoted this pasuk before, because the pasuk says, Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. We compare Torah to light. So if we fulfill the mitzvah of neros, of lighting, so then in turn, we also merit the Torah, which is light, and we merit having the Torah be passed down to our progeny and our children following the ways of the Torah. Not only that, but reaching great heights in Torah. Some of the Mefarshim ask that in practice, is this really true that almost everybody, Orthodox women, even non-Orthodox, many non-Orthodox women are careful about the mitzvah of Ne'er HaShabbos, and not everyone is merits Banim Tamidei Chachamim. So how can this be? So I saw a fascinating comment of Rabbi Yaakov Reischer, the Iyun Yaakov, and he rereads the Gemara, and he says, Haragil b'ner havyon le banim tamidi chachamim, which means that one who's accustomed to lighting lights in his or her household and studying Torah in front of those lights on a nightly basis, not only on Shabbos, that's the person who's havyon le banim tamidi chachamim. I thought that these two explanations were so apropos for exactly what we've accomplished over the past couple of weeks. We've had three shiurim in-depth learning, where we've learned on our own and also learned together as a group about the topic of Ne'er HaShabbos. And tonight in specific, we've seen how much gravity is given to the mitzvah of Ne'er HaShabbos, so much so that we have a knas that doesn't apply in any other area of halacha. And certainly there's a lot of significance to fulfilling the mitzvah of Ne'er HaShabbos. When we light those candles, we're adding a sense of dignity and honor to our homes. We're distinguishing the ambiance and environment in our homes from the rest of the week. And that has an effect. It brings a kedusha level of sanctity. It provides a space for the Shekhinah, for Hashem, to reside with us. But we don't only fulfill the mitzvah of Ne'er HaShabbos. What everyone here who's joined together to learn with us each and every week, what we've done is modeled for our families as well what it means to live a life of kedusha, what it means to live a life of following the ways of Hashem and studying Hashem's Torah. We've not only shown our children that our homes are different, but we've done it ourselves. We've lit those lights and learned in front of them. And it's that combination of creating a space of Kedusha, but also living a life of Kedusha, showing our families that we come out to learn Torah on a busy weeknight when we all have so many responsibilities and so many things going on at home and in the workplace and who knows what. When we take time out of our schedules and nonetheless come and study Torah together, that has a real impact on our families. That has a real impact on us, on our families, and on our entire community. So I thank everybody for joining together with us. I'm looking forward to continuing for weeks to come. Yashar Koach.